Hello, everybody. This is Shane Mick from the Cheap Home Grow Podcast. And on today's show, I was fortunate enough to interview YouTube sensation MedFit in detail about soil amendments and why, as a home grower, you should care about what amendments you put into your soil. MedFit is a self-educated person and talks about how he started growing his own in Las Vegas in 2014. Like many new or novice home growers, he tested multiple different growing mediums, but eventually found his way with growing organically. MedFit talks passionately about how Supersoil does nearly all of the work for him, and like many traditional home growers that have to pH, PPM, EC, he lets his soil do the work for him. He goes into detail as to how this process works. I especially like this approach because, as many of you guys know, I'm a relatively new home grower. I, like most home growers, can't devote an excessive amount of time every day to growing my own. So MedFit's almost, you know, quote, hands-off approach is something I think you can appreciate, especially if you're looking for a simple way of growing your own cannabis without sacrificing yield or quality. Please remember to press subscribe and enjoy the show.
Hello, and welcome to the Cheap Home Grow Podcast, a show for individuals that want to learn more about growing cannabis indoors. This is a podcast dedicated to helping you with your indoor growing adventure. You'll learn how to grow your own and not have to rely on others for your medicine. The Cheap Home Grow Podcast will also feature timely interviews with cannabis industry veterans shaping the culture and politics of cannabis. All right, here is your host, Shane McCormick, and the Cheap Home Grow Podcast.
Hello, everybody. This is Shane McCormick from the Cheap Home Grow Podcast. And on today's show, we have MedFit from the YouTube channel called Medically Fit. And today he comes on the show and he is going to talk about cannabis amendments in your soil. So, MedFit, if you could you please tell my audience a little bit about yourself and then we can get right into the questions.
Yeah, I've been growing probably 7-8 years now. That first started off living in Las Vegas. Las Vegas, we had dispensaries, but they were kind of illegal. So they started shutting them down, but we were able to grow our own. So I kind of had to learn how to grow my own and buy still marijuana on the black market, even though we had medical, dispensaries that were supposed to be up and running. But everything changed 2014 for Vegas. So, okay. But that's kind of how I got into it. I kind of had to learn how to grow my own medication because I couldn't find any. And to me, buying weed from a dispensary or a black market was still kind of expensive.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Right. Well, I mean, I'll tell you what, I know this goes back a few years, but I mean, what were the prices back then? Do you recall?
Yeah, I can still probably get an eighth to, about $35. Mm-hmm. But that was in Vegas and that was on the black market. So Right. It was still, to me, it wasn't real expensive, but it was still kind of expensive when you were trying to live on a budget.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, I mean, I'll tell you what. I mean, here's my first question for you. I mean, have you always grown organically, or did you make that switch a little later on?
It was kind of later on. Okay. It took me a little bit. So there's a couple things that happened in my life. One, I had a roommate that he wanted somebody to start growing. So I was trying to learn how to grow. Mm-hmm. Two, my father passed away. So growing became more of a passion and it was a therapy for me. So that's how I got really started with growing. And it started with synthetic nutrients. I kind of had a couple different bottled newts I tried, different lines when I first started it. I tried DWC, I've tried aquaponics, mm-hmm. And I tried a couple different things, really seeing what worked for me. And it took me a little bit to figure out going and starting off with a super soil was the easiest method for me. It was what I call the KISS method. Keep it simple, stupid.
Right, sure.
You know, let's keep it as simple as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people have a hard time understanding that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think you bring up, you know, I think you bring up a pretty good point there. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm certainly no master cannabis grower by any stretch. But you know, in my grows, you know, it's just all about keeping it really, really simple. And I know a lot of guys can sometimes, you know, complicate things, and that's great. But I think most people, especially most people that are getting into, you know, growing for the first time, it's just, you know, keep it really, really, really simple.
Well, and that's the thing. A lot of people want to try different methods, and I suggest trying it to see what works for people, because everybody finds something that works better for them. Yeah. But to me, it was, I never had to pH mm-hmm. or pH my water,
okay.
PPM or check my EC and continuity okay. of my mixtures. I didn't have to measure 5, 10, 15, 20 milliliters and mix it and then recheck it. Mm-hmm. That was took up a lot of time doing all that stuff.
Right.
Super soil was real simple, where I took dry organic amendments and mixed them into a base mm-hmm. and I just watered. Never really pH the water. Sometimes I would, just kind of checking it. If it was city tap, I would leave it set out, you know, kind of help get rid of the chlorine and chloramine. But it was just real simple. I just dumped water on it.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, you just dump. And so really, I mean, what you're saying here is that the soil is doing most of the work, right? It's doing most of the heavy lifting.
It is.
Okay.
It is. Because soil is living.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Dirt's not. Dirt doesn't have any biology to it, mm-hmm. Such as bacteria, fungi, where you can inoculate dirt and start to create a soil with it and make it a living habitat. So that's what really differentiates with soil. It's a living biology. That and the plant actually kind of work together. There's a thing called arbuscularia fungi
mm-hmm.
That are fungi that actually send little deals into the roots of the plant that kind of signal each other back and forth. So there's a symbiotic relationship with it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, I mean, you know, and I know this question wasn't really on my list that I had for you, but you know, you brought up a pretty good point there. I mean, why should a home grower care about the amendments that are in his soil?
Well, it comes to a couple different things.
Okay.
Bottled nutrients have a shelf life. Whether you're trying to do synthetic or organics, there's a certain shelf life that's going to work. The solubility is going to stay the same. It's, you know, the usage of it. Mm-hmm. The second part is the salts you're putting in your soil and the synthetics you're putting in there is actually killing the biology. Most people are trying to force feed their plant, where the soil itself, the living soil, is actually it's feeding the plant. So the plant takes up what it needs when it needs. So I'm not force feeding the plant with bottled nutrients. Okay. So there's a difference in what's going on with the plant. And that's where I kind of look at things.
All right. Well, I mean, what do you look at there?
I'm not trying to do a lot of ecological damage because there's a lot of runoff and waste with hydroponic growers.
Mm-hmm.
And where are they dumping that? Down our sewers, down our drains.
Right.
Where's that going? It's got to be then treated, and it's killing a lot of the biology in the rivers and the streams and all the waste runoff, the soil that's, it's leaching into the soil and causing where you're getting all these extra nutrients running off into these streams and causing like algae blooms and like it gets to where I'm looking at it from a bigger picture instead of, oh, I'm just going to dump this down my drain.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So what you're saying is that you don't want to put that waste back into the environment. Pretty much.
I'm trying to leave a small carbon footprint as possible. And my biggest carbon footprint besides people that use nutrients is the lighting.
The lighting. Okay. All right. Well, I mean, I know we didn't talk about that prior, but how would you, I guess, leave a minimal impact in terms of your lighting? What should a home grower do there?
A lot of people are now switching to LEDs, which are more efficient. Yep.
Sure.
There's a couple really good ones. Horticultural Lighting Group. Mm-hmm. They're a great company. Pacific Concepts. Mm-hmm. There's another one. Rapid LED. So there's quite a few different good LED companies that are really focusing more on the cannabis industry.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Menfit. I mean, let's get a little bit back. Get back into the amendments type conversation. Now, you know, when it comes to organics and feeding the soil, and it creates a healthy root zone and breaks down amendments for the plant to uptake. Now, you know, whereas, you know, bottled newts, you know, they're just trying to, you know, feed the plant. How would you best describe that if you kind of know what I'm saying?
Well, a lot of it comes to the electric continuity of the solubility to me of the bottled nutrients, because mm-hmm. they're trying to use cations to me to help take up nutrients. It's a synthetic form, so it's causing the plant to start feeding on your schedule mm-hmm. instead of where the biology and the soil itself, the plant will signal, hey, we need this. So it will signal through its exudates a little chemistry that will allow the biology, the fungi, our bacteria, to know what it's looking for. So then these will break it down and release it to the plant so it can uptake it when it's ready. So what it does is, in an aerobic system, the biology is actually breaking down dry organic amendments, turning it into like a humic acid in a sense, where it's in a ready, available, soluble form almost. The biology, it's a little complicated with biology because a lot of people think just the biology as bacteria and fungi. Mm-hmm. That's not the case. Because they keep and store all the biology or the nutrients in their bodies unless they die or eaten and pooped out. So that's the only way those are now being released into the biology in the soil or into the plant. So the biology is a little bit more than just bacteria and fungi.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, I mean, I'll tell you what. I mean, that leads me to my next question here. I mean, this is coming from a home grower's perspective, right? I mean, mm-hmm. I'll tell you what. I mean, what is something that someone can add, you know, to their soil that will give them the biggest impact? I mean, and also, I mean, how does that actually work?
Well, a lot of people would say worm castings, but that's not really the case. Okay. Worm castings is a great choice, mm-hmm. But your own compost. Okay. Because in your compost, you should have all of the biology, especially if you're doing outdoors. Mm-hmm. You're going to get the full soil food web getting into that compost, and that's what you're really looking for. Your vermicompost is going to be basically worms breaking down and getting enzymes and enzymatic action with bacteria and fungi. Mm-hmm. But your compost is getting the arthropods, the protozoa, the nematodes, the thing to help eat the fungi. The worms even will help break down the bacteria and fungi. Mm-hmm. But you're trying to get more of the full range of biology in that soil. So if you're composting outdoors and you can keep the temperatures right, you know, turning it every so often, that's going to be the best choice to put in a soil mix compared to just worm castings.
Okay. All right. And you know, perhaps I should have asked you this prior. I mean, when you say compost, right? I mean, what exactly do you mean by compost?
Well,
really.
Yeah. Compost to me is a variety of, you have your fruits, vegetables that you're throwing, your produce from your house, such as some eggshells and coffee grounds, but you're also getting some leaf, like leaves from the trees around. You're getting grass clippings. You're getting clippings from other plants outdoors thrown in there that you're trying to create, you know, this brown to green ratio of these. The greens are more filled with the sugars and carbohydrates to it compared to the brown where it's already kind of broken down in it. So that's why you're kind of getting a mixture, and you're doing like some people do the lasagna layering of different amendments so that the worms, the bacteria, the biology can work their way through and break everything down. So that's what I would suggest as like what a compost is.
What a compost is. All right. Okay. Yep. Fair enough. Yeah. I mean, I guess that's the, you know, the simplistic, you know.
Some people use some manure into it too, okay, to get other biology, which I do. I use it in a way of insect frass, or if I'm around a farm, if I can get some cow manure or horse manure, I'm trying to throw a little bit of that as well. So.
All right. Okay. Cool, man. Cool. I mean, this is one of my, you know, this is one of my last questions. It's not the last question, but, you know, I mean, I'll tell you what. I mean, what would you say to somebody thinking about growing their own organic cannabis? I mean, what, you know, I guess what, you know, what advice would you give that person that is just, and, you know, and I mean, really, Medfit, I mean, you are not talking to the guy that's been growing for, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. You're talking to the person that is thinking about, you know, growing their own. I mean, maybe they've done it in the past, you know, but in the past they've, you know, screwed up. So, I mean, really, what advice would you give that person?
Well, actually, it's advice for the old-time grower that's switching over from bottled nutrients. To even new growers that are wanting to grow or messed up, trying bottled nutrients, that are wanting to try something else and find something simpler. So I'm really talking to a lot of people,
right,
and not just the new grower, because I've had people ask me that are switching from bottled nutrients, growing for 7, 8 years as style, hydro, wanting to switch over to soil and asking me more about it.
Okay.
So organics is, like I was saying, it's keeping the method simple. It's keeping it where the biology is doing the work for you. You're not doing a whole lot. Like, there's a range of, you can use dry amendments in living organics, or you can go a no-till style where you're using cover crops and creating more and more biomass, which is feeding the biology, and they're breaking that down and creating the nitrogen, the phosphorus, the trace minerals that you're looking for, instead of adding the dry organic amendment. So there's a couple different ways that it doesn't cost a lot. You're getting more of a return. More people are liking the cleaner product. The terpene profiles that are coming out of organics compared to hydro are just blowing people away. And a lot of people don't comprehend. We're just letting Mother Nature do itself. She's already had this design hundreds of thousands of years, and why are we complicating it?
Right. Yeah, exactly. And that goes back to your original statement there. Just keeping it, you know, keeping it simple, stupid. KISS. Right.
Yep. And see, with organics, you know that, like, a lot of people are trying to not just grow for recreational, but for their own medication. And so a lot of people are trying to keep it as clean as possible. And this is why we talk organics, is this is more of the cleanest way to grow your plant as you can, and not force feeding all these bottled nutrients, where a lot of people don't have the money to continuously invest every month to, oh, I got to go spend $150 on these bottled nutrients and this A and B mixture and this. I can spend $100 and get 5 pounds of down-to-earth amendments and get several boxes that I can, what, make super soil and teas to feed my plants that will last me 6 months to a year, if not longer, depending on my feeding regimen.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, and you know, I mean, as you know, my podcast, it's called Cheap Home Grow, right? I mean, so,
right.
I mean, so coming from your perspective in terms of, I tell you what, like in terms of what you grow, and how much money you spend. I mean, really, you don't have to get, I don't mean to get super, super personal here, but I mean, or in a particular year, I mean, how much money would you say that you spend growing your own?
Well, and this is really funny conversation right here, because I did a greenhouse grow. Mm-hmm. And one of my good friends, he goes by Buds on Buds, and he did a 10K indoor grow. All right. And we talked about what we used for soil amendments, because he was a cocoa and he was on bottle nutrients. Sure. And I talked to my down-to-earth amendments are anywhere from $10 to $15 per five-pound box, and I get, you know, this variety. Right. And then we talk about lighting cost and how growing outdoors didn't cost me nothing for lighting, but he's spending $1,200 to $1,500, almost $2,000 on lighting a month. What? For energy bill. Yeah.
Two G's a month?
Two G's for 10K lighting, for 10,000 watts of lighting is what they're almost running through, because they have, you know, all the other equipment, right, from right, feeding fans.
Holy shit. Jesus.
But yeah, so it gets expensive for growing big indoor when I can do outdoor in a greenhouse and not spend nothing on my energy. Right. So there's one view of it. If I'm doing a small indoor grow,
right,
I don't do more than, let's see, I had a 600 watt light that I changed out for a 315 ceramic metal halide, because it has UVA rays to it.
Right.
And then I got a Samsung LED 260 watt from Horticulture Lighting Group that I put in there. And so it was close to 600 total watts, maybe 650 that I had in my flower room, that I would pull almost a pound off of four plants.
Jesus. Wow.
But it was organics, and I was letting them veg out. Mm-hmm. You know, I wasn't trying. I'm about quality and not about quantity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's why a lot of people, if, you know, they're looking for my product, I charge more for it, because it's about the quality. It's that craft. It's mm-hmm. that, it's that taste that you're looking for, and you're like, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, exactly. It's that, it's, you know, it's that feel when you get in that taste where you're like, you know, where you basically say to yourself, man, this is it. This is, you know, this is the real McCoy, so to speak.
Yeah, and it's a much smoother taste with organics. It's right, much cleaner. Like, everybody talks about, oh, I flush my plants, and I can get it all out. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, first of all, you cannot get it all out of your plant for one reason. Your plant itself has exudates that it releases sugars and biology, hormones to the biology around the root zone. So even when you're flushing your plants, you're still going to read that your plants, there's still something coming out even a day later.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So everybody's like, oh, I'm flushing it to zero PPMs. No, you're not. Check it a day later. Just run a little bit, test it. You'll still see that there's residue left in there. Mm. Organic growers, we don't talk about flushing, because we're not trying to destroy the biology in the soil. Mm-hmm. We may help rinse out any, if there's any salts that got in there or starts to build up, you know, salts in there that kind of help get them out of the plant zone.
Sure.
But that's it. We don't talk about really flushing our plants, because we're not killing that biology.
Right. Yeah. No. Yeah. I know exactly where you are coming from there. So, yeah, man. And you know, I mean, really, my last question is, right, and this is a question that I ask everybody that comes on the show. Are there any other questions that I should be asking, or, you know, any other final statements that you would like to make?
Well, there's a couple.
Sure.
So first of all, like, a lot of people want to know, you know, how am I educated? Well, I'm actually self-educated. Mm-hmm. Like, I've done tons and tons of hours of research, not only on YouTube, but on Google Scholar, looking up information, wanting to know more. Because if I'm growing this plant for myself, I'm trying to grow it the best way possible. And for me to do that is to actually research stuff for myself and not just take everybody's word for it. But to go in and search for it, to find that knowledge and go, oh, they are right. Okay, well, let's look into this a little bit more and look into this, because it leads you down a rabbit hole of information that is only beneficial to yourself growing that plant.
Mm. Yeah. And I mean, you know, I can tell, Medfit, that you are a very passionate guy. And I mean, perhaps I should have asked you this within the first, you know, couple of minutes of the show, but I mean, what does organic cannabis mean to you?
Well, it means I'm using dry organic amendments or cover crops. I'm trying to keep things as natural as possible, mm-hmm. of mimicking Mother Nature. Okay. Doing, you know, like a lot of no-till growers are understanding regenerative agriculture.
Sure.
And that's what they're doing with their beds, is building up those biomass layers, creating such a layer that you don't ever need to feed your plants except just water. You're no longer using dry organic amendments. You're not top dressing. You don't really need teas to get that biology ratio back up in there, because you're putting so much diversity in cover crop that you're getting the diversity of biology in the soil. So it really goes to, it's changing over time on what organics really has started off as in this cannabis community to what it's really becoming now.
Yeah, right. I mean, it seems to be, you know, it seems to be the wave of the future, you know, especially if you're growing at home, in my opinion. I mean, my show, it's primarily about home grow, but let me ask you this,
there are a lot of home growers that are doing no-till styles growing. Mm-hmm. They are, because there are a lot of home growers that are taking a 4x4 tent and putting one huge pot in there and putting several plants in this pot, mm-hmm. and putting grasses and legumes and buckwheat and clover in, growing along with it as companion plants, as cover crop. Mm-hmm. So a lot of home growers are really doing and changing to that style and method.
Right, right. And I mean, do you see that in the coming years? Do you see that, I guess, getting more and more popular? And if you do, why?
Since the time that I've started growing, I've seen it more and more people move to organic, regenerative, no-till agriculture.
Really?
More and more people are understanding how simple it is, mm-hmm. how much of a better product overall they're getting. People talk about, oh, well, organics, you don't yield as much. No, they're starting to see quite a bit more yields than what they were, because now we're starting to get it dialed in, where before we were still just starting to understand why organics were important. Mm-hmm. Well, now it's getting more dialed in. Right. And so people are getting a better product and still getting good yields, and
sure.
So that's kind of why I see a lot more people moving to it. Mm-hmm. A lot more people that are wanting to become more conscious, ecologically conscious, and not want to destroy this planet, mm-hmm. Would move towards it and get away from using bottled nutrients.
Yeah, exactly. Bottled nutrients, man. And you know, I mean, I think you talked a little bit about this, but I mean, in terms of a recipe for a home grower, in terms of newts, what would you recommend, you know, that they put in their, you know, in their soil?
Well, and that's a good question, because starting off, to get most people to get like to the no-till state, they start off doing super soils, mm-hmm. and super soils are a bunch of different organic amendments, organic amendments in the soil that allow the biology to break everything down. So you're going to use stuff as worm castings. You're going to use manure. You're going to use alfalfa, clover, mm-hmm. kelp meal, neem seed meal. People will use oyster shell for calcium, or dolomite lime for calcium and magnesium, rock phosphate for like the B vitamin complex. Crab meal, crustacean meal, that's another great one that people are finding really help bring on different profiles in the terpenes. Azomite, volcanic rust, it's trace minerals. So just like we as humans need trace minerals in our bodies, so does the plant. Arsenic and lead, our plants need that. And a lot of people are like, oh, it's real bad. The plant's not really uptaking it, but they need that trace mineral. That it's key with certain functions of the plant. But getting back to some of the amendments, Bokashi. Bokashi is a good one because it's three different bacterias together that will help start breaking down some of the bad biology in the soil.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You have biochar, which is a great amendment. You have green sand, which is a silica, humic acids. Depending on fast-acting or slow-acting, you have different types of nitrogen. Blood meal is a fast-acting. Feather meal is a slow-acting, so it breaks down slower. Mm-hmm. So when you're going into flower, you're still going to have a little bit of nitrogen there for your plant so it doesn't start looking nitrogen hungry.
Okay.
What else? Steam bone meal. Mm-hmm. So that's some of the stuff that I would use in my super soil.
Your super soil?
Yep.
All right. All right. All right. All right. Metafit there. I mean, that does it for the questions that I had. And you know, I mean, I know I just asked you this question a few minutes ago. But I mean, I mean, in addition to your first final statement, do you have any other final statements that you would like to make?
I have a YouTube channel. If you guys are looking for more information,
yes, you do.
Yeah. Medically Fit. Mm-hmm. I've got around 10,000 subscribers that kind of follow and listen to what I'm educating about. I do drop a lot of gold nugget information in a lot of my videos. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to help educate people, get people interested in this plant and understand more about the biology of what's going on in the soil that works along with the plant because of that symbiotic relationship they have. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're coming back to is understanding how if we can heal the planet from climate change, a lot of it's getting back to getting the biology back in the soil, getting cover crops to help keep the soil cool and not get it hot and killing the biology. So there's a lot of stuff that really goes with regenerative agriculture, growing cannabis, hemp fields. You know, there's just a lot of information around it.
No, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's funny. The information is almost never ending.
So much coming out. Right. Yeah. So much. I mean, when I first started trying to understand the plant, mm-hmm. you know, we knew about THC and we knew about CBD.
Right.
But then we started learning about THCV and CBDA and THCA and now CBG and CB. So it's gone from just a few cannabinoids to over 100 different cannabinoids. Terpenes, flavonoids, alkaline, different things in the roots that are now coming out about the plant that 7-8 years ago we didn't even begin to understand.
Right. Yeah. That's a good point. I mean, just imagine what the next 5-10 years.
Yeah.
10 years are going to be. I mean, it's Jesus Christ. I mean, it is true. The potential for cannabis, I think, is truly untapped, in my opinion.
Well, it's not just untapped, but it's scary and not knowing where this industry is really going.
Mm.
Because a lot of people, recreational, want it pumped out. We want pot. And it's just pot to them.
Mm.
But really, they're getting the medicinal benefits. Where a lot of the medical growers that love growing for the medicinal purpose of the plant,
yes.
There's a lot of people coming out with a lot of great medical information and what it's doing and how it's helping. And more research needs to be done with that, not just with that, but the terpene profiles, the plants for, there's a gentleman now that created a all CBG or close to all CBG cultivar
mm-hmm.
of cannabis, which
really?
So it's considered genetically modified because he changed some of the markers in it,
mm-hmm.
but the industry is now starting to genetically modify the plant. So that's where some of the scariness comes into. But they're looking to change for different cannabinoid profiles now,
mm-hmm.
which can be very beneficial. So we're in this era of so much information coming out that is it going to be a positive or negative for what's really going on?
Right. Well, I mean, it's like anything else. I mean, I think there's going to be some, you know, I mean, some positive. Well, I hope there's going to be more positive than negative. But, you know, I say if you allow people to study the plant, if you just allow them to attack the plant with their, you know, with their individual
research. Yeah.
Right.
There's so much different research that people are talking about wanting to do with this, but because of the federal laws right now, all across the world, it's hard to do some of this research that needs to be done. And I believe when it's federally legalized and the world finally embraces the legalization of it, there's going to be so much information that comes out within that first 5 to 10 years of it being fully legalized that it's going to be amazing.
Right. Yeah.
It's going to be amazing.
I think you are certainly right there, sir. Absolutely. But really, MedFit, it was a pleasure talking to you, and you know, I hope to talk to you again soon.
Yeah, anytime. Feel free to give me a holler, and I'll definitely chat with you more. I've got a lot of information I share. It's just from the years of continuously doing research and wanting more and wanting more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and it's kind of crazy, right? I mean, you know, here you are a guy. You know, you're not a doctor, you're not a scientist, or at least I don't think you are.
I have that scientific mindset.
Right.
Like my mind thinks that way.
I don't
want to go to college and have a huge bill just to learn horticulture and botany when I can study most of it myself. Like my old roommate, we lived together for 3.5 years. She had her master's in botany and horticulture. Her thesis that she had to write was on plant succession. And so her and I had a lot of great talks and knowledge that we shared with each other, because she thought cannabis was easy to grow until she started trying to learn beside me and realized, oh my God, you really have to attend to this more than like once a week. I'm like, yeah, it's like every day you need to be in there and see what's going on with your plants. Like,
right. Yeah, exactly.
So it's pretty interesting for even her to look at the plant as from a different perspective and go, wow, it's pretty intricate itself.
Yeah, I mean, she was writing a thesis, and she didn't know how difficult it was for her to grow.
No, her thesis was on plant succession and basically how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
But she's grown plants, she's worked at nurseries, so she's been around all these different types of plants except cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's living in Colorado, she's got to play around with cannabis, you know, we got to meet through a boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And so I introduced her to more of the cultivation and growing of cannabis, where she, you know, knew from how to grow, but she didn't know how to grow cannabis because it was different to her. It took more instead of, oh, I can water my plant, it's just going to grow for me and I don't have to touch it or come back to it. That's not quite, it should be the case, but it's not quite the case with how we cultivate cannabis.
Right, yeah.
We actually have to spend more time with it, actually nurture it a little bit more, and you know, we can't just set it and forget it.
Yeah, no, it's not that simple. I mean, you know.
In nature, it is, but not when you're bringing it indoors, it's not.
Right, yeah. So I have a question for you, right? I mean, let's say a new home grower only has a certain budget in mind and they want to buy, you know, amendments, right? I mean, and let's say they have, you know, 50, 100 or maybe like $150. What do you think they should buy with the money that they have?
Well, that's a great question, because a lot of people do ask that, like, hey, I only have X amount of spend and I can't buy a lot, but what are some of the better amendments that I can purchase that's not going to cost me a lot? And that's a lot of down-to-earth amendments, like I've talked about, really run from $10 to $15 for a 5-pound box. which will last a while. But if I was to get some amendments that I needed the most or that I look forward to, worm castings, kelp, mm-hmm. alfalfa, I would try to get something to help buffers like oyster shell mm-hmm. or even some Azomax for the trace minerals. Those would be some of the key ones that I would look forward to. Another one that's not a down-to-earth amendment would be insect frass. Okay. Insect frass is basically bug poop or guano, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
But it also has a couple things in it. It has some bacteria, fungi, protozoa, which are key parts of your biology of the soil. And it has chitin, which is like a plant growth hormone that helps the plant with growing and fending off. So there's a lot of different things that actually go along with like these amendments.
Okay, well, you know, I know it's difficult to answer because, I mean, every region is different, right? Generally speaking, I mean, how much do those things cost? And really also, I mean, where could you go and actually buy those types of amendments and add them to your soil?
Well, if you're in a legal state, mm-hmm. most of your hydro, grow stores, nurseries, even nurseries carry them. Okay. Some of the down-to-earth or dry organic amendments. Mm-hmm. Another place is Amazon. If mm-hmm. you need to order something and your local place doesn't carry it, you can find most of the down-to-earth amendments on Amazon or something that's similar to it, like Bokashi or insect frass. You can find almost all of them there.
Really?
Huh. Walmart, here's what's crazy about Walmart. Walmart's even getting in the game.
Really?
And legal states that on their websites, you can purchase some of these products, but you have to be able to go to their store like a day or two later to pick it up.
No shit. Really? No shit.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. They're going to be, you know, they're going to be the next stop shop for people that want to grow their own, it seems.
Wow, man. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I mean, you know, yeah, sure.
Very interesting, isn't it?
It is interesting. Holy shit. Yeah. It's a big and it's a growing market, the people that want to grow. So.
And there are a lot of different down to earth amendments dry organic amendments. Mm-hmm. I like down to earth because they're reasonable priced. I like where a lot of their product comes from. Mm-hmm. So that's why I stay with using most of their product. There are other ones out there that people may still like to use instead of down to earth. So, you know, don't necessarily take my word on down to earth amendments are the best, because I'm not saying that. I'm saying find what works for you. Mm-hmm. And my recommendation is if you need something cheap, down to earth is a great place to start.
Down to earth. Okay.
Yep. Down to earth amendments.
Right. And down to earth amendments. Now, can you buy that online or is that?
Yep.
Okay. You can buy it online. Okay.
You go right to Amazon, down to earth amendments, and it will pull up a whole bunch of different amendments for you.
A whole bunch of stuff for you.
Yep.
Well, again, man, thank you for coming on, and you know, I hope to talk to you again soon.
Yeah. Have a great day.
Thanks for taking the time to listen to my show with MedFit. He can be found on Instagram at MedicallyFit. That's MedicallyFit. And he also has a YouTube channel with over 10,000 subscribers. There, his YouTube channel is called MedicallyFit as well. I hope you've enjoyed this episode, and please remember to press the subscribe button. You can visit cheaphomegrow.com/episode49. To get show highlights. And please remember to sign up for my email list. Thanks, guys. I'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Cheap Home Grow podcast. We do our best to bring you quality content. Let's grow together. Please hit the subscribe button and take time to share this podcast with a friend. Visit cheaphomegrow.com for our database of interviews and information. Until next time, be safe and grow easy.